scriptures. I just wish more people knew it and practiced it and lived it and applied it. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right? All right, let's get it here. I'll get it for you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. See, and that's what you've done this morning. You brought your bodies. Somebody had a hard time getting your spirit here, but you brought your bodies. Got your spirit with you yet? Has it caught up? Has your spirit caught up? That's why some of you are so slow getting here, because you had to make your spirit move up and get with you too, see? Every Sunday morning, old Barry's spirit's not very quick, you know. Now, he was on his way to Philadelphia to get them drugs, boy. He's ahead of the game. I mean, he left in the middle of the night, midnight! When you're sowing to the flesh, you know, it don't take too much, you know. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God don't want you when you're half dead. He wants you with some life in you now. Holy. Bad word. Holy means free from sin. Huh? Don't you come up to... We were talking about that the other night, where God will not accept certain sacrifices, certain worship. You're going to come in here this morning and you're going to harbor your sin, and you're going to hold it in your heart. Now, God will forgive you of your sin, but if you're going to hold it with intentions of going back out and doing it, then everything you do here this morning is going to be in vain. Got to be holy. A lot of folk go to church and say, I'm going to get filled up, and then go out and live any way they want to live. Can't do that. God's not going to accept. See, God knows that too, you know. He knows what you got planned for next week. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, the message that Brother Chris preached on that one morning here. Your reasonable service. Is it reasonable for a wife to expect her husband to come home? Is it reasonable for a husband to expect his wife to cook food? Is it reasonable for a child to be obedient to its parents? Come on. Is it reasonable for your boss to expect you on job on time and get a full hour's pay? Is it reasonable, amen, to get a decent wage for a decent job? Come on, see, these are reasonable things. Nobody questions reasonable. You go down to Piggly Wiggly, you expect to get a reasonable amount of groceries for a reasonable a price? Amen. When you don't, they charge you 2 cents over. You say, it's too much. Amen. Huh? They get unreasonable. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is God being unreasonable when He asks you to come into the house of the Lord where you can get your spirit fed and your soul fed? So you get prepared to go out to deal with... That's not unreasonable. Somebody say, you don't have to go to church to be saved. No, you don't have to, but if you get saved, you're going to go to church. Amen. Say, folk, going to want to go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah! I wish somebody raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Say, folk gonna want to be in the house of the Lord. Then he goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world. That means don't do, think, or act the way the world does. But be transformed. See, that's the process. That's the process, Brother Robert. You're still going through that. That's why you have that drawing back every now and then, halfway up, halfway back. You know what I'm talking about. You've been through it. Yeah, you know I know you've been through it. Amen. That old Linda there, back and forth, draw back and forth, huh? Come on. Amen. Old Sammy back there. Yes, sir. The Bible says toss to and fro. That's why you've been back and forth there sometime, Brother Ed. In, out, up and down. See? Because of the transforming process. You know what the transforming means? It means to make over, to make anew, to get so you think different. You know you are what you think. The Bible says a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Huh? Praise the Lord. I mean, if they was having an auction sale down here selling Persian rugs, I doubt whether Ed would go. Would you go to buy Persian rugs? No, he wouldn't put Persian rugs. He don't think that way, see? He thinks about that old washing machine, that old... He wouldn't even know where to start to bid on a Persian rug. He'd probably say $2. They say, throw that rascal out of here. How did he get here? $2 on a Persian rug? Lord, have mercy. You get what I'm saying to you? Huh? Before he can become one of those men who knows how to handle that stuff, he got to change his way of thinking. He got to go out and check on Persian rugs so he can find out which one's authentic, which one's false. Like old Jody. You know, Jody runs around up and down the coast buying gold and silver. And when Jody goes to buy gold and silver, you know, he, you doing all right, Sam? What's the matter? Not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is how important is the will of God? How do you find the will of God? What's God's will? Not for my life, but what's His will? That I can be part of it. Now, how important is it? In Matthew 7, verse 21, the question was asked to Jesus, said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside trying to talk to you. And Jesus made this statement. He said, who is my mother and who is my brother? But he that doeth the will of my Father. So you see how important it is to do the will of God? You know, the Bible says that Jesus is our elder brother. We are joint heirs, equal heirs with Him. But before you can become His brother, you know, that's what Martin Luther used to walk around and say, oh, it's black folk brothers. The other day I was asking Brother Barry over here. Now, he's going to understand this now. I said, who got that Ted up there? Is he white or is he black? He said, he's a brother. Now, what he meant was he's black. Brother Pablo, who was here yesterday, is a little Mexican boy. He says, he married a girl from New Jersey who's not Spanish. And then he asked him, he said, I married a white woman. Now, he's as white as they could be. Old Pablo's just as white as could be, but he's Mexican. You understand? And the Mexican don't call Mexicans white. Mexican, black, white, and Mexican. He married a white woman. She's as white as he is, brother. Amen. But she said, I married a white woman. See? Huh? And that's the way the world thinks. Why, all men are brothers. No, they're not. No, they're not. Brother Ron proved that last Sunday. If you belong to some of these old churches out here, and you belong to that system, your father's the devil. A lot of folk you know you're dealing with, they got a different daddy than you got. Amen. You know, in my house, we all have the same daddy. Us boys didn't get along, but our daddy knew how to make us get along. Amen. We had the same daddy. All right. You understand? Amen. You wonder why the world... The other day that you saw right here in the paper where a man committed to kill the girl out here. Amen. Kill the girl out here on a highway. Killed a drunk driving. Twice the man's been convicted for drunk driving. You know what happened? He's all scot-free. And another guy raped a woman to give him 50 years in jail. You know what's that? Probably that guy's probably a Masonic brother. Probably a Mason. What surprised me, that judge of Mason walked in there and said, hey, judge! You can't put no brother like me behind bars, Judge. Both of them are their father, the devil. I go before that judge, boy. I'm going to make sure I got my Jesus on my side. Because that judge going to railroad any preacher. I can guarantee that. Amen. And Masonic brothers ain't nothing but children of hell. I'm going to get caught for that one of these days. But when you become, I told a lady yesterday, when you become a 32nd, a 33rd, or a Shriners, you've got to acknowledge that Satan is God. Amen. What kind of justice system we got in this country? We haven't got one. There's no justice in our courts. None whatsoever. So they're calling everybody brothers. Jesus, who is my brother and who is my mother, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So how important is it to know God's will? Very important, isn't it? Because one of the characteristics of becoming a child of God is doing the will of the Father. If you're not doing God's will, you're not God's child. And you know, that's what I used to say about Martin Luther King. When everybody say, oh, Martin Luther King was a great man. He was. He was a great black leader, but he wasn't a great humanitarian. When he taught that all men were brothers, he was wrong. You think all black folk are your brothers, you're crazy. If you think all white folk love you, you out of your cotton picking head. You ain't reading right. Huh? I'm your brother. You're my brother. We can put up with each other. Huh? Some place you'd walk in like this on Sunday morning, they'd throw you out, you nigger. What you doing over here, nigger? Go to your own kind. See? But old Sam knew he could come down here. He just knew that. Old Robert knew he can come over here because we ain't got no niggers around except the ones who call other people niggers.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? What makes the difference? He that doeth the will of the Father. How do you get to become a child of God being born again? Not signing a card or shaking a preacher's hand, but being born again. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
Lift up your hand and say, help me, Jesus.
Help
me,
Jesus.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. How important is it to know the will of God? Look at this. Matthew 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So you see, who is God's children? Those who do the will of the Father. Hmm? You ever have little children and they disobeyed you? You say, you ain't my child. Disown them. Come on. Push you to the place where you have to almost disown them. Now look at this. What is not the will of God? Matthew 18, verse 14. Listen to this one now. Matthew 18, verse 14, and it reads like this. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones, who are the little ones? The ones that do the will. See? The ones that do the will of the Father should perish. You get what God's saying here? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? Who is my family? Who are my kinfolk? They that do the will of my Father. Think about it this morning. You got up in a country where only 6 people out of 100 will go to church.
Amen.
Only 6 out of 100. 94 people out of 100 will not go to church in America. In other countries, they would pack the church because they are forbidden to go to church. But in America, we got so many churches, so many religions, so many preachers that people don't know which way to go. So in most cases, they don't even go at all. But God, hallelujah, put it within your heart to come to the house of the Lord. It's the will of God to be in church. To be together with God's people. That's the will of God. And so it's not God's will that any of us perish. Thank God for that. Think about it now. Look into it. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody say amen. John chapter 6, verse 39, it tells us now what is the real will of God. Why go to church? Why pray? Why pay your tithe? Why read the Bible? Why do what's right? Why do all of these things? What is the purpose for all of this? What is the overall will of God? And here's the way it reads in John chapter 6 and verse 39. Hallelujah. And this is the Father's will. Isn't that clear? Which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Look at this now. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So what's the will of God? To give you everlasting life. Is it worth that? How important is everlasting life? You know there's a story in the Bible that gives you a paradox. The story of the rich man and the poor and the beggar. The rich man had everything. He had so much that he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. He did it. Got them all built. Got them all full. Had everything going fine. Went on retirement and said to himself, now soul, look at that. He spent all of his life taking care of everything but his soul. Now he says, now soul, take thine ease. Just like the soul lives in houses and lands. You know where the soul lives? In you. That's where your soul lives. Come on, it's in you. Huh? You can be fine in a fine home and driving a fine car and be miserable. He said, now soul, take thine ease, eat. You don't feed the soul turnip greens. You don't feed the soul potato salad, barbecue, black-eyed peas. That ain't what you feed the soul. Hello? He said, soul, take thine ease, eat. Huh? And then he thought by sitting down at a pork chop or ham hock, he was feeding the soul. That eat, drink. You don't drink. You don't feed give the soul beer or cold coffee or Coca-Cola. Anyone would you drink the soul with, feed the soul with? Come on. Right. Feed the soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Right. Hey, the things that make the soul happy is not flesh and pleasure. Things that make the soul happy is the presence of God. It's the part in you that requires God's presence. Hallelujah. It's that thing inside of you that only can be satisfied by the moving of God. I used to work with a man who told me how he used to sit around with his grandmother who always used to love putting jigsaw puzzles together. He said, and Grandma would work for hours because once she started on an old puzzle, she wouldn't quit until she had it together. He said, I used to slip in there and grab one piece and stick it in my pocket and take off. He said, and Grandma would work and work and work and she'd get that old puzzle all together. And then she'd be looking. And she'd almost go out of her mind because the one piece was missing. Oh, haven't we had it all together? Got it all together. Yeah, don't we, huh? Yeah, old Sammy had it all together when he get that old can of beer out there. Yes, he got it all together. Oh, how many times have you thought you were cool, you was what's happening, you had it together? But there was one piece. The rich young ruler said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He told him what to do. He said, I've done all of that. He said, but you lack one peace. Amen. And after the old rich man got all together, he lacked that one thing. Huh? Spend running all over the world trying to find that one thing. One thing. What is it? That's God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here this morning. I wish I could make you understand that. He's here this morning. This is the will of Him that sent me, that you might have everlasting life. How important is it to know the will of God? God wants you to have eternal life. And that He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 15, the Bible tells us something here that I think is really good. It says here, verse 15, see that ye walk circumspectly. That means properly. Not as fools. I remember driving through Albany, Georgia. Some years ago, I've told this story so many times. I was driving through Albany, Georgia, trying to have a meeting there. Hardly anybody was coming, so I was out in the community at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Saw a man staggering down the road. 5 o'clock, daylight. I pulled my truck up alongside. I said, hey, sir, come here. Old man said, yeah, what you want? I said, you work? Sure do. I said, you work on a job? He said, I sure do. I said, you get paid? Yes, sir, just got paid about an hour ago. I said, how much money you got? He said, I ain't got none. I said, boy, you are a fool, sir. Man work all week? All week? How many times the devil made a fool out of you, Robert? Work like a fool and spend it like a fool. Don't spend your money for that which is not bread. You want God to give you a job? Buy more cigarettes? You putting God between a rock and a hard place, old boy. Why should God bless you to buy more cigarettes? But he knows cigarettes are going to damn your soul. Tear up your body. Oh, cigarettes won't do that. The Bible says that your body is the temple, of the Holy Ghost. He dwells in you. And the scriptures say, he that defiles the temple or destroys the temple, him will God destroy. Don't let nobody fool you. Eating too much is a sin. It destroys the body. Watching too much television is a sin. Come on, it destroys the mind. Come on, you see, you understand what I'm trying to say? Going shopping and just spending money foolishly is a sin. Can you imagine the hypocrisy today of all of you buying these mamas all these nice flowers and all these nice clothes on Mother's Day? Huh? When all mama needs really is to be loved, be appreciated, that's all. That'll do more than any flower. Flower going to fade away. Going to be dead next week. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Flowers going to be gone. And them pretty flowers up there. Look at them this morning. My Lord. They're all grown right around here. Look at that. Isn't that nice? Won't be long, though. What is your life? It's like the flower. Life's going to fade away. You know what makes that flower look like that? Life. Down inside them old roots next year, hallelujah, that old life's going to come up and it's going to produce again and again and again. This old flower going to fade. What you see ain't the flower, honey. It's not the life. You're going to die. Boy, you get God inside of you, hallelujah, and the old things may just fade away, but the old life just keeps coming right on up. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Bible says here, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. The word redeem means buy it back. Think about how good God is. Huh? Think about how good God gonna give Earl a chance to buy some time back. Too busy to read Bible before. He's out there doing his thing. He had it all again. Too busy! He ain't gonna be too busy for a while. God has slowed him down. You didn't know that was all going to happen when you got saved, right, did you? See, God's going to start working on your family. He's going to slow the whole bus down, stop them cold in the track. I mean, you done tried and coaxed and paid them out of bills and got lawyers and bails. You done tried and tried and tried. Now God's going to settle for it. He's going to stop them cold, boy. You hang on now. Don't give up. Hallelujah. I was telling a story about a lady yesterday, that little old black sister. I was telling her about her son. She's running back and forth to the hospital. And I said, I remember a lady in Boston. Her son stole her car. Her own son stole his mama's car. Hey, how do you convince the insurance company that your son stole your car? It took her 6 months to convince that insurance company that her son stole her car. He had keys. He lived in a house. What do you mean he stole your car, woman? You gave him keys. He lived with you. He just went out one day, took off, and didn't come back. That's all. Took her 6 months before they agreed that the car was stolen. Couldn't find a boy, couldn't find a car. And finally, after 6 months, they bought her another car. But her son's still lost. And the mother's worried about her son. I want to tell you all something, if I may kindly, from the bottom of my heart. Don't be so concerned about your son without being concerned about somebody else's son. Learn to be concerned about humanity like God can. You'll see God at work. Little old woman, she called me. She said, Brother Stair, what about my boy? My boy. My boy, Brother Stair. I said, look, woman, what do you want me to do? She said, well, I know if you pray, God will locate my boy. I said, oh, he don't have to locate him. He knows where he's at. God don't have to locate nobody. He knows where they're at. He sees a sparrow when it falls. You better got every hair in your head numbered. Lord, have mercy. Don't think God got to go looking for something. I said, you want the Lord to find your boy and stop him? She said, yes, sir. I said, okay, Father, in Jesus' name, locate her boy and stop him. I hung up the phone. That's all I did, just a little prayer. Isn't that a nice little prayer? Just stop him. I can help you get off them cigarettes, but it'd kind of be harsh if I do it that way. Just cut off all them paychecks, boy. Just cut them all right off. Just cut them right all off, boy. I can help you get off that beer. You just shut off your supply. Anything, all of it. I'm talking about the money that you use to buy it. See, God don't give you the beer. God's been blessing you and you've been buying the beer. Yeah. Somebody said, why are you working so hard on him? If I don't, the devil's too going to destroy his whole life. Somebody got to work hard. Huh? You know, the next day the woman called me on the phone. She said, what did you do? I said, what did I do? She said, you prayed for God to stop my boy. He stopped him. I said, he did. How'd he do that? She said, the cops found him. I said, praise the Lord. She said, they shot him. I said, hallelujah. She said, what did you say? I said, you know where he's at, don't you? Shot him in the hip. Couldn't run another lick. Say, hey, what did Jesus mean when he said it's better for a man to go through life with one hand, one eye, than to go to hell with both eyes and both hands? What do you think is better? Hey, you don't think a few months in jail for somebody is better than eternity in hell? Amen. I think so. Amen. Come on, I think so. Amen. I think so. Amen. Come on. Amen. You don't think a few months of misery is better than you going to hell? I think so. And that's the will of God. He died to save you. I heard a man say something yesterday I thought was really good. David Wilkerson said, he said, Jesus Christ didn't come to save you from hell. He came to save you from sin. It's your sin that puts you in hell. Amen. God don't save you from your sin, you're going to go to hell. Come on. Amen. But if He saves you from your sin and you quit the sinning, hell can't hold you. Somebody say amen. The grave won't keep you. Glory be to God. The Bible said the sting of death is sin. And He said the victory in the grave is sin. But when you get rid of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can cry out, oh death, where is your sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? And as the one old songwriter said, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I'll tell you what, folk, I'm going to preach you whether y'all like it or not. Now, y'all sit there and just act like I ain't doing nothing, but I'm going to preach you anyway. Hallelujah. He says, He redeemed the time because the days are evil. Can't convince people. Oh, brother, say, look how nice things are. Hey, nice. This is an evil world we're living in. Amen. It's not getting any better. I picked up the newspaper this morning, you know, where, can you picture one country like Brazil, who has the audacity to say we could throw the whole world economy into a shamble. See, last year Brazil refused to pay the 460 some billion dollars it owes the World Bank. Where last year they could have bought a car for 196 pesos to American dollar. Now it costs 496 pesos to American dollar. What they could have bought a car with last year, they can now only buy a pair of shoes with. And they say right out, we ain't paying. They told the World Banks, we ain't got the money. What they did was they suspended payments on the loan. Now, if you had a loan at the bank and did that, what would they do to you? They'd foreclose on you, wouldn't they? But it's like Brother Chris says many times. Brother Chris says, if you owe the bank $10,000, they own you. Come on. But if you got $10,000 in the bank, you own them. You understand? I put some money in the bank down here that was given to me to buy some land. Now it's not my money, but it's in my name and the church's name. You ought to see the difference between the banks treating me a month ago and the way they treat me now. I walked in and put 15,000 cool cash the other day. Up until that point, I was just barely covering my checks. Oh. Amen. I was no big deal when I walked in there. Boy, when I go in that back now, hello, Reverend Stair. Hello, Reverend Stair. Hi, Reverend Stair. Hi, no, Reverend Stair. Hello, Reverend Stair. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? You see, in the Brazil, in the paper today, Sunday News, you get it. Read the article about Brazil. They said we could, if we decide to default on that loan, all they did was say we won't pay you right now. They're not paying at all. But the banks rearranged it so they didn't have to pay it right now. Oh, you have to understand high finance. There was no way they were going to get it anyhow. So I said, we'll just give you another year to pay it. Or another 2 years to pay it. So they can keep it on their books that they still got it. No. The scriptures say over here the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who was my brother and my sisters and brothers? But they that do the will of my Father. It's not the will of the Father that any should perish. Now, he says, understand what God's will is. Now, how do we know the will of God? I got 7 steps I want to tell you quickly. Be sure you are filled with the Spirit of God. You're not going to know the will of God without having the Spirit of God. The Bible said, who knoweth the mind of God save the Spirit of God? See, the reason why most people can't find God's will because they have the spirit of this world. Be sure you're filled with the Spirit. The Bible said, be not drunk. Good one. Come right in here. Right. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, how did you get drunk? Right. You get drunk on the first glass? Second? Got to keep on drinking, don't you? Right. Hello? Right. Some folk have a greater capacity than others, right? Well, how do you get drunk on the Spirit? Amen. Just keep drinking. Amen. Keep drinking in the Word of God. Keep drinking in the Spirit of God. Come on. Amen. Just keep drinking. After a while, every time you open your mouth, a scripture will come out. Every time your thought goes, a verse of scripture will go. Oh, hallelujah. That's why David said, I hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Huh? See, if I get that scripture in old Barry's heart, that he that destroys the body, him will God destroy. Let guy quote that one for a while. Next time he take... They call him the right thing, coffin nails. Coffin. Not coffee, coffin. Amen. Nails. Amen. Just keep on driving them nails, brother. I can preach a funeral, but I won't promise you resurrection. Be sure you are filled with the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 30. How can I get the Spirit of God? Look how simple this is. I want to show you something. You ain't going to like this, but I'm going to show you something. Look how simple it is to be filled with the Spirit. It says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Well, I've been trying to get the Holy Ghost. First thing you got to do is make sure God's your Father. See that? Who is my mother and who is my brother? But he that doeth the will of my Father. How does God become your Father? By being born of the Spirit. Come on. Now when God becomes your Father, now you can go to your Father and say, Father, give me the Spirit. Now He did that to y'all. I mean, without any reservation, you just say, hey, Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Zingo. Is that little woman here the other morning? Were you hear that? The other morning, that sister got the Holy Spirit. Just boom. Her husband said to me, he said, I was trying to figure out why we were here. He said, when you prayed for her, he said, I knew why we were here. So we've been trying to get her to get the Holy Ghost for a long time. I remember Brother Ed sitting back there last week, boy, just sitting in that chair, and I just kept reaching out saying, come on. All of a sudden, he jumped out of that old chair and run down front, boy. When he hit the old knees, hit that old thing, boy, his old tears began to cry. He felt like somebody doing something new inside. See that? Huh? had a pull, had a coax, had a plea, but once it makes the move, oh, hallelujah! You know, there's an old saying that says that you can drive a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I may get you into this tabernacle, get you sitting on that chair, and have a fountain of water, but I can't make you drink. The drink has got to come from you. Hallelujah. Come on, I can hand you a glass of water full of cold water, but I can't make you drink it. You got to open your mouth and move your tongue and swallow. That's why we tell you to raise your hands and lift up your head and praise God and then glorify Him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me saying here?
You thirsty?
Yeah, I'm thirsty.
Can I get a drink of water?
Uh-huh. Here it is, right there.
Right. Them little old baby goats, boy, they come out of her old mama. They stagger around. Even before them old ladies get strong, oh, they're heading for that order. Don't teach you how to drink. I mean, we put some good sweet feed out there this morning. That one little baby goat, sweet feed. You won't even touch it. Hadn't learned how to eat yet. Don't know how to go. He knows how to go.
Amen.
See, some of you folk want to eat the Word of God and you haven't learned how to drink yet. And drinking you, I can't teach you. You can teach somebody how to eat, but you can't teach somebody how to drink.
Amen.
Ain't nobody been taught how to drink.
Amen.
It's the first thing you did by instinct.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You come out of your mother's womb, born, and stuck it to her breast, and you was at it already.
Amen.
You didn't even know your heart was beating. Your mind wasn't even working right, but you...
Amen.
Same thing in the house of God. Hallelujah. Learn how to drink. Put your head up. Open your mouth. Begin to praise the Lord. Use your tongue. You got to use your tongue to drink, you know. That's one of the prerequisites. Got to use your tongue. If you can't talk in tongues, you can say praise the Lord. You can say hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You can do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. Learn how to drink. You drink it all in. After a while, you'll get full. God, help us to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You'll not make it without this. That's why many of you fall back. Be still, Sam. I rebuke that thing. Straighten up. You're all right. You had no business messing back in that junk I told you not to go back on. I won't get to you. Just hold on. You're going to hear me preach first. I'm going to deal with you before I leave. You will not need to make it in this Christian life without the Holy Ghost. We're kept by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. Not by the Word. Most of us don't even know how to discern the Word. Come on. We read the Word and it gets all twisted around in our minds. The Spirit of God is going to take that Word and make it quicken to us and show it to us. And hallelujah. The Spirit and the Word agree. You're going to need the Spirit. Praise the Lord. How do you get that way? You empty yourself of self and of sin. Second point is be sure you're fully yielded to the will of God. See, you have to decide, now, do I want God to take over my life now? Do I really want God to run my life? Somebody said, well, let go 50-50 with God. No. That's 50% you vote and 50% you vote against Him. That's why marriages don't work. See, they say marriage is 50-50. 50% the wife, 50% the husband. Neither one of them giving 100%. Only give 50%. You got to give 100%. Come on. No, it's not the wife's will or the husband's will. It's the right way. That's the way. See, it's not your way or God's way. It's God's way, period, not at all. You see, you can't do it that way, people. Amen. Huh? So be sure you're fully yielded to the will of God. Not what you want, it's what He wants.
Amen.
God cannot direct one that does not want to be directed. You understand that? He can't tell you which way to go if you don't want to be told. If a man wants to learn, he got to be willing to be taught, the Bible says. If you don't mean it, don't pray. You see, if Brother James on his knees here last week would have stayed right there and then just got up and walked back to his seat, nobody would have known what was going on in his heart. And if he went back out and flipped, we wouldn't expect too much. But the Spirit of God wouldn't let him do that. You know what he said to me? He said, I got to have that microphone. I got to say something. And he stuck his foot in his mouth. He's now, this is what I've been, and this is what I'm going to do. Now, we all know what he's been. We forget about that now. We forget it. But, boy, we're watching what he's doing. You see what I'm saying? You get the point? See, the Spirit of God made him commit himself. That's why you're having such a trouble up there in Santee. Everybody knows y'all jumped in with both feet when you're up there in that tent meeting. Huh? And they're all watching you. You better quit blowing it. And you too, Robert. Walking down them streets like old Robert, talking to all them deacons, then they find you out there slipping back yourself. You don't think I was going to let you off the hook this morning, did you? You didn't think I was going to let you off the hook this morning, did you? Come on. It ain't going to be so bad when I catch you reading that Bible, Ed. But when some of them old buddy friends of yours catch you reading the Bible, they're going to really say, hey, Ed, what's going to happen to you? And you're going to be in trouble now. You can't serve God in secret. All of a sudden, somebody's going to know something happened. You're going to have to stand up to it. You can't drink at two fountains. Big old Bible, you're walking here with a Bible big enough to choke a cow. And then you drinking that old beer. You're going to stop longer than that, boy. Hey, hallelujah. I'm going to work on old Sam. I don't care. 2 weeks ain't long enough. You done stopped 2 weeks last time. You done stopped 2 weeks last time, Sam. I'm going to keep on working on you. If you don't mean it, don't pray. Let me tell you something. Let's be close now. I'm going to say something. Next statement. I got it written down. God's going to hold you to your promise. God's going to take you at your word. I remember an old mother in Alabama. Married three times, outlived three husbands, had many kids. Called me to the hospital one day. When I got there, she was dying with cancer. I'll never forget the story as long as I live. Had cut the mother open from the breastbone all the way down to the bottom. Doctor went in with his hands, checked her out. When he called me into his office, the preacher said the woman ain't got a whole organ in her whole body. Cancer has eaten her up. 70-some years of age. No stomach, no liver, no gall, no bladder, no intestines. All eaten up with cancer. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You ain't ever too old to listen. Somebody said, you ain't going to talk to me that way. Listen to me. Let's get one thing straight. You get one thing straight. When you leave here, you may meet God.
All right.
And you ain't going to blame me for letting you off the hook. God loves you. Christ, it's the will of God that none of you perish.
Amen.
And you can find the answer if you want to.
Amen.
I went in to tell a little old mother. The doc said to me, don't tell her she's dying. I said, what do you mean don't tell her she's dying? She's one of my church people. I've been her shepherd for years. I'm going to tell her she's dying. That's what this is all about. Hey, Brother Ed. If you do come down to dying, that's when I want to stand beside you and be faithful.
Amen.
That's when I got to be faithful.
Amen.
Come on. And I went and I said, Mama, you're dying. She said, I know. You know you can't fool a Christian. Them old Christians know when they're dying. I said, you're dying, Mama. She said, I know. I said, I asked you one question. Do you want to live or do you want to die? Kind of stupid, isn't it? 70-some-year-old woman filled with cancer. She looked up at me. She said, Brother Stair, she said, if my children would serve the Lord, I'd like to live a little longer. She said, but they come home drunk. They're beating up on each other. I've watched them cut each other with knives. She said, I have cried and bawled and squalled. I bailed them out of jail. She said, I brought them home drunk. She said, if they're going to keep on living like that, I ain't got no reason to live. They're just tearing me apart. She said, but if they'll serve the Lord, I'd like to live a little longer. I just whirled around, went out into the hospital hall, and boy, they were just lined up. There was the grandkids, the 20-some kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and I said, hey, y'all, sit right down, or I'm going to talk to you a minute. I said, Mama told me she'd like to live a little longer if y'all got right with God. But if you're not going to get right with God, she's ready to go home. Now it's up to you. What do you want to do? Boy, you never heard so much crying and bawling and squalling in all your life. All on their face, oh God, we'll live for you. See, Mama was the only real thing they had. She was the only one in the whole household that honored God. Come on, and they knew it. They knew when everything else was on trouble, when everything else was going down, that little old 77-year-old mama who couldn't read or write knew how to pray.
Amen.
All right. And they didn't want Mama to go. And they bawled and squalled and said, God, let Mama live and we'll serve you, we'll serve you, we'll serve you. And I just stood there watching them. Boy, they looked to me like they're really repenting. I went back and I said, Mama, they're all out there getting right with God. Her eyes lit up. Because that's all she had to live for. She said, I'd like to live a little longer. Hey, we weren't even talking about cancer now. We were talking about the will of God. Come on, that's what you find, the will of God. Jails don't hold God's people. Hospitals don't hold God's people. Come on. Cancers don't destroy God's people. Financial reverses don't destroy God's people. Come on. He parts the waters. Hallelujah. He rains down man out of heaven. He makes the crooked legs to walk and the blind to see and the dumb to talk. Come on. It's the will of God. That's what you find. What is the will of God? Find what the will of the Lord is. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Her eyes lit up. She said, I'd like to live a little longer, Brother Stair. I said, so be it. In Jesus' name, I curse the cancer. Be thou made whole. Walked on out of that place and said, she'll be all right. Doc said, you're crazy. I said, I don't care what you say. I know what God said. That's enough for me. I don't care what you say. I won't be a part of that. What's the first thing I said to you when you told me how long he might stay in? What did I say? He won't stay that long. Then I said, don't forget it either. Don't forget I said it. Oh, now the devil's going to fight me. Every month he's going to fight me. He's going to tell me I didn't tell the truth. But he's a liar.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying to you? He's a liar. I don't care what the judges say. I don't care what they say, brother. I don't care what they say.
Amen.
I'll prove that to you in a little while before I get done here. Huh? Know what the will of God is. Know what the will of God is. That mother lived for 10 years after that. I don't know how she did it, brother. No stomach. No gall, no bladder, no intestine. She lived. She lived to stand beside the coffin as I preached those kids' funeral, one right after another, as they died. Because when Mama got well, they went back on God!
All right.
Went back to drinking, went back to cussing, went back to raising hell, and died violent deaths. And I stood there many times preaching their funerals, and she'd stand right by me and say, Brother Stair, you know God kept His word. He took them at their word. They promised God, you'll save Mama. We'll live for you. If you don't mean it, don't pray it. Brother James, I'm not the one going to be looking over your shoulder to see whether you do right. I can't spend time over there. I can't drive around with you. And I can't go with you all the places you're going to go. But there's somebody going to be right there saying, I did this for you, and I'll do more for you. You can bring all your burdens to me. You can cast all your cares on me. When you're weak, I'll make you strong. When you're hungry, I'll feed you. When you're destitute, I'll make a way. But you got to do what you said now. Oh, hallelujah. It's not hard to do what God wants you to do. It's not hard. Hallelujah. One of them boys, 14-year-old, I stood by the bedside and watched them die. And I've told this story so many times, it almost gets beyond belief to hear it. Got up one morning and started a fire in the old wood stove and threw gasoline instead of kerosene on it. Exploded. Killed the father, killed two brothers, and this one was running around the yard like a torch. They grabbed him, wrapped him up in a blanket, laid him on the ground, got the fire out, got him up on his feet, could still walk around. But he was burnt with 90-degree burns over two-thirds of his body. His mother got in the car to go to the hospital with him, and this little old mama, she said, "Brother Stair, when I reached out to take hold of his hand like this to help him come in the car, said his hand peeled right off in mine. I didn't tell you to get up. Said his hand peeled right off. Burnt, boiled, barbecued. When I got to the hospital, when they sent for me, I didn't even recognize him. No bone, no flesh on this hand, just a skeleton. Just the bones. Oh, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you that when you take yourself out of God's hands, you are open for anything the devil wants to do to you. And he has no mercy on you. Every time you smoke a cigarette, every time you sniff a little bit, or whatever, every time you do it, every time you disobey God, you tie the hands of God. He can't protect you. Every time you give the devil a chance to attack you. Oh, come on, don't you hear me? Every time you do it. I often used to tell a story of my oldest son. We was living in a place in Sacramento, California. And he couldn't get along with the boys out there. He's always fighting with the boys. So one great big old yard, everything in that yard that boy could play with, we were staying with some people, everything the boy. I said, "Son, I want you to stay in the yard. You stay right here in the yard. You got all these toys. He had candy. There was no reason for that boy to go outside that yard and fight with them boys. And I couldn't allow the other boys to come in because they'd fight with them in the yard. So I went out there. I said, "Boys, I want you to stay out of the yard. You, my boy, don't get along, and I'm not going to be put up this fighting all the time. So he's going to stay in the yard. You will stay out of the yard." Then I said, "Now, son, if I catch you going out of this yard and those boys whoop on you, don't holler for me. Take your whooping." But I said, "Boys, if I catch you coming in this yard picking on my boy, I'm going to whoop you guys." And my boy would stand inside and go, "Yeah, yeah." Them guys wouldn't touch him because they wouldn't come inside. They knew they couldn't come inside the fence. But one day he got smart and he went sashaying out through the fence. He didn't get 10 feet. Boy, they grabbed him and drug him about 20 feet away. And pow! Pow! Daddy! Daddy! I stood right there and let them just beat the fire out of him. He come running back in. I said, "I told you to stay in the yard, boy. When you went outside that fence, you got outside of my jurisdiction. I couldn't help you." It's the same thing God did with you. He said, "You can't get along with that devil out there. He's going against you." He said, "Now look, I'm going to put you inside this little old fence right here. I'm going to put my angels all around you. I'm going to give you everything you could ever ask for. Health and joy and peace and happiness and love. Come on, I'm going to bless you. Now stay in the yard." He said, "Now if you step outside this old yard, I can't help you." Then he went right down to hell itself, grabbed old Slewfoot right by the front of his old schnozzle and said, "Now boy, I'm going to tell you something, devil. Those are my kids inside that fence. Don't you dare come inside there. You come inside that fence, I'm going to whoop you half to death." My devil said, "Yes, sir, Lord." He don't mess with them. The devil has never one time ever come under the blood. Never one time went past the Holy Spirit when it raised up a standard. Come on, never. Never one time they ever challenged the Word of God. It's only when we go sashaying outside and give them a chance to shoot at us. Everybody knows I'm telling the truth. Every single person knows I'm telling the truth. Come on. The Bible said, "Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself under the blood." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I promise you that devil comes trespassing. It's like one little sister said some time ago. She said, "The devil went fishing in my pond trying to find my sins." Said, and God had a big sign up there saying, "No fishing." Glory be to God. Huh? And with the devil fishing your pond, somebody say amen. Amen. Reach over and touch somebody and say, "He is preaching this morning, isn't he?" God will hold you to your promise. Yes, it will. Next thing I want to tell you about Knowing the will of God is count the cost. Just count the cost now. You think from now on God's going to let you run your life? Count the cost. You get married, count the cost. Can't be running all the town all the time. Boy, before I was married to my wife, Teresa, anytime I wanted to go somewhere, just get in the car and go. Never had to tell nobody. Every time I get ready to go now, I feel compelled to say, I'm going this way, I'm going here.
Amen.
Somebody said, you do it because of her? No, I do it because of me. I like the relationship.
All right.
I like it.
Amen.
I want to safeguard it.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. I want to avoid things that will destroy it. Huh? You want me to go here, Lord? Should I do that, Lord? Why? Because I like the relationship. Come on, I enjoy His presence. Hallelujah. I say, come go with me. See, some folk want to go off and say, Lord, I'll see you later. Even when I go downtown now, I got an urge to come back quick. Boy, when you leave this place this morning, you should be able to say, I can't hardly wait the next service. Oh, boy. Oh, not too many folk going to do that, huh? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody said to me, boy, I wish we had service tonight. Huh? See, you get hungry enough. Get hungry enough. Huh? Just show up. I've been in places already where we weren't supposed to have no service and somebody show up. Had to have service. Be willing to be called a fool if you want the will of God. Hey, Ed, you're a fool, man. To Thursday night. You're a fool going to church on... Well, you see what the devil can do? What are you going to do if he starts having auctions on Sunday morning? See what I'm saying to you? See, the devil raises your pay. You think the devil going to fix it so you can serve God? Is that what you think? See, you get a home, you think God bless you with the home, and you got to stay home and clean it? When I was up there in St. George some years ago, Sister Ruth Richburg asked me to have dinner at her house. I said, okay. When I went to the tent meeting that afternoon, there were nobody at the tent. They were all over at her house getting meal. I said, they'll never eat in this house again. You stay home from church to cook me a meal? Don't do that for me. I'd rather have you come to church and we'll eat sardine sandwiches.
Amen.
Huh? See, you can be a fool. You'll be a fool if you can do God's work. If you got to be a fool for God. I told you the story about the old man walking down the street in New York with a great big old sign in the front that said, I'm a fool for Christ. Everybody laughing at him. He turned around the back, had another sign that said, whose fool are you?
Amen.
Straight up, Sam. I ain't giving rent to that spirit now.
Amen.
If you want to know the will of God, be sure your conscience is clear from your past. You can't allow the devil to use your past if your sins have not been forsaken. He's going to keep on bringing them back to you. I can't think of anything more devastating than when you're on your knees praying, asking God for something, the devil brings some old sin up in your life that you got there.
Amen.
And just tie you all up.
Amen.
Huh? You see old Barry down here on his knees? Oh, God, I need a job, Lord. I need a job. And there comes a big old pack of cigarettes right in front of him.
Right. Amen.
The devil knows what God don't like. Don't you understand that? He knows. And he's going to block you with it. Lady asked me some time ago why her husband was so mean. She said, he don't love me. I said, yes, he does. That's his problem. He's not been true to you. He's not been faithful to you. And he loves you so much he can't look you in the face because he knows he's been unfaithful.